Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
I still think that the Cubs take this thing and they clinch the division essentially today. Congratulations to the Chicago Cubs, 7.5 game lead. But this
clinch the division.
Yeah, this
you're
is
talking
it.
Crazy. Because first
seven
of all,
and a half games. Come
the
on,
Brewers
man.
Aren't the only team out there.
Oh, you're worried about those Cardinals, are you? I don't think there's any team right now that is or will be for the foreseeable future, unless one of these teams seriously augment at the trade deadline, that is close to as good as the Cubs right now.
Funny how that works. Mark Grody on Friday talking that noise. And now the Cubs lead down to 3.5 over the Milwaukee Brewers, down to 4.5 against the St. Louis Cardinals. So in reality, if the Cubs struggle against the Cardinals and, say, get swept in a four-game series, the Brewers could be in first place, and the Cards, they could be a half game out. More Rahimi and Harris with Russell Dorsey in for Leila Rahimi right here on 670 The Score. We're talking about a Cubs team that has not run away from the rest of the National League Central. A Cubs team that did not clinch the NL Central by sweeping the Mariners. In fact, they lost 2 out of 3, and that's why these other teams are so close. In fact, the Cincinnati Reds are only 6.5 behind them. And all three of those teams I just mentioned, the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Reds, they're all within striking distance, if not holding down a wild card spot in the NL. So now we look at this series with a little more fear. Is that the right word? An appropriate level of fear, Russell?
Concern.
Concern.
Fear probably is too strong of a word.
Okay.
I think concern is... What you sound concerned coming out of that break.
I am concerned.
You're concerned at what the Cubs week is going to look like once we get to Friday, Saturday. And I think that's fair, right? Like, I think you have to be conscious that lead has shrunk and the teams behind you, specifically the Milwaukee Brewers, are playing their best baseball of the year, probably. But I want to read something off to you. Over the last 15 games... The Cubs are 7-8. Over the last 15 games, the New York Mets, also 7-8. The San Diego Padres over the last 15 games are 6-9. The Dodgers are 10-5 over the last 15, and the Phillies are 10-5. So you look at the National League as a whole, there's only two teams that are really playing great baseball. That would be the Dodgers and the Philadelphia Phillies. Like, I understand why fans are concerned. I understand why you're concerned. I also think there are ebbs and flows to the season, and you're not going to necessarily play your best baseball from game one to game 162. And I think the Cubs are going through a stretch where, hey, everything isn't as perfect as it looked in April and May. And I also understand you're about to play some teams that aren't the sub 500 teams that you've been beating up on. Like, you're playing real teams.
Not just real teams, Russell. You're playing teams that are looking right at you and saying, if we beat you, we are back in the mix.
They're looking at the Cubs like they're food.
not like they're food, because it's not that easy.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that easy. It's like they're looking at the Cubs as the team that they need to beat to get where they want to get to, which is division champs.
Yeah.
And they're also saying, even if we don't catch the Cubs in the division race, we can still make sure we're in the wild card mix with those three wild card spots if we play very well over the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, because the Cardinals see the Cubs twice in four series.
Yeah.
The Brewers know what they need to do. They've got the kickstart, if you will, with Jacob Mizorowski coming in and looking very different than Aaron Civale has looked for the White Sox.
Yes.
Is that a fair statement?
Probably fair.
Okay. And so even the Cincinnati Reds are saying, we have the talent on this team to make a surge if we can get it together both offensively and with some excellent pitching that we happen to have on our staff. Whether it's Green, Abbott, you look at some of the players and you're saying, we have just as much talent as a Cubs team that's maybe throwing out their swingman every fifth day in Colin Ray. Now, this is the perfect time to get Shota Imanaga back in the fold.
Yeah.
You get him back now. He's going to pitch Thursday. that series finale, the day game in this series, so it should be pretty hot, by the way, when they play, if it's not weather-related problems for the Cubs playing the Cardinals. And you're saying, one, who does Imanaga replace in the rotation, or do they go to a six-man rotation, maybe skip Colin Ray this time? There's a variety of things that can be done. But you're also saying, if things go poorly against the Cardinals, and they were to not even get swept, just say drop three out of four,
right?
That Astros series looks a lot different in Houston.
Yeah, for a team that's playing really good baseball and has now taken firm control of the AL West from the Seattle Mariners team that took two of three from you. No, you make great points, and I understand that's the way things are shaping up for the Cubs. I also think the Cubs are a good baseball team. Right? Like, if the Cubs are the team that we've been talking about all year long, if the Cubs are a team that is a playoff contender, the Cubs are a team that are one move away from being a World Series contender, we got to trust that that's the team that we've seen is truly them, right? Like, you have to understand that Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins see what's been going on. They understand what's going on in the division. They understand what's going on in the National League. Like, the one thing with the National League this year is it is far superior to what the American League is, right? The American League, the Boston Red Sox, who have gone through a lot of different things this year, are only a half game out of the third and final wild card spot in the American League. So, like, that tells you what kind of competition is in the National League versus the American League, where in the National League, the Braves, who you pointed out earlier, have been playing good baseball, are 11 games back in the NL East because the Mets and Phillies have been playing so well. But also, the Mets had led the division most of the season, and after their series in Philly, the Phillies are on top of the NL East now. You look at the NL West, the Dodgers are on top of the division, but the Giants are knocking on the door right behind them. The Padres are right there, and even the Arizona Diamondbacks, with all the injuries that they've sustained over the last couple of months, are hanging around. So, I get it. I really do. But if the Cubs are the team that we have talked about so highly in the first half, you got to trust that they're going to be able to get themselves out of this rut that they're in.
Every team has ebbs and flows, as you said. Mm-hmm. Every team also has flaws on their roster.
Yeah.
Right? So, I'm just trying to single out the flaws, say, how can they get better? Is this something they can improve internally? Is this something they need to go externally? Or is this just a regression to the mean for individual players like what we saw with the bullpen over the weekend because of, in large part, the weather conditions at Wrigley Field, which sound a lot like what the weather conditions will be in St. Louis this week with the heat, the humidity, balls flying out. You can call us, Texas, 312-644-6767. Give us your thoughts on the Cubs as Russell Dorsey in for Layla and I discuss what's going on this weekend. I want to be very clear. I am not panicking.
I just saw the text.
Yeah, like
Layla and Marshall are always panicking.
773 on the text line. Layla and Marshall are always panicking after a Cubs loss. It's a marathon. I'm not panicking. I'm just saying this is an area of concern you may want to address. Another texter, 630. Marshall, it's freaking June. If you thought that even a 6.5 game lead they had a few days ago was safe, you've never watched baseball. It's a freaking grind, and the idea that sports media and yourself are standings watching this early is ridiculous. I'm not the one who said the division was going to be over after the weekend. That was Mark Grody. I just said, let's see what happens. They're actually playing good teams now. Let's see what happens against the good teams. And I like a little spice with mine, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like a little extra seasoning, if you will. So with that in mind, I want to point your attention to something that was said by Brewers general manager Matt Arnold. Because here was the situation. The Cubs, as you know, had one of their games against the Brewers rained out. People might have asked, well, why don't they just play the doubleheader now? Instead, they're making it a split doubleheader on August 18th, well down the road, which just happens to be a time in which the Brewers are the ones who don't really have a break. Now, if they had rescheduled the doubleheader for this past week, it would have been the Cubs adding and overloading onto their schedule of a lot of days in a row in which they had to play baseball. So here's Brewers general manager Matt Arnold being asked on Brewers 360 on the Cubs and Brewers not playing a doubleheader after Wednesday's rainout.
During that stretch, that's already a four-game set against the Cubs in Chicago, and the first day you all are going to play a split doubleheader. That makes 5 games in 4 days, but that's during a stretch where you guys will play 20 games in 19 days. So my point is, why did they make you let you guys play a doubleheader today and get it over with?
Yeah, I had similar questions about that as well. It sounded like there were some business side conflicts with the Cubs,
okay,
on their end, and some city ordinance issues that came up as well. So I think potentially the conflict might have been Jacob Mizorowski, to be honest. But
sounds right to me.
That's up to them and the league, and you know, that's for us, from our standpoint, we're willing to play anybody, anywhere, anytime, and you know, we'll see what it looks like in August. But we're ready to go today for sure.
That sounded maybe not like shade, but very shade-ish. I mean, Matt Arnold basically saying that's the Cubs doing that. We wanted to play tomorrow. We wanted Jacob Mizorowski to come down on them hard like he did the last team he went up against when he said, I'm going to take this perfect game deep into the game. What do you make of Matt Arnold's comments, and are they harmless, or do they have a little to them, a little kick?
They have a little kick, but here's my thing with the Brewers and the Cubs. This goes back a ways, right? Like, this goes back to when Craig Counsell was the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, where you had a similar situation. The Brewers said, we can play. The Cubs said, no. And then the sun was shining. And the Brewers are like, what the heck is going on here? You said we couldn't play, and here we... So this goes back a ways.
Gamesmanship?
I think there might have been a little... There's definitely a little gamesmanship in there. I also think there probably are some city ordinances, etc., on the Cubs side. But you best believe that this is a little gamesmanship. And no, we're not going to do you any favors.
Listen, I love stretches of baseball such as this because I've been waiting for the Cardinals and Cubs to play. And I had to wait till the 78th game on the Cubs schedule, the 79th game on the Cardinals schedule. This is what baseball is about. It's dead heat of summer. It's Cubs cards for four, not three, for four games. They could walk away from this thing and be like, it was a draw, 2 games apiece. Or somebody takes 3 out of 4, that's a 2-game stretch. You're either making up 2 games or you're adding 2 games to your lead. And then because of what's next with the Astros and the Guardians for the Cubs, before you see the Cardinals again for the second time in a 2-week stretch, you got Sunday Night Baseball next week. Mm-hmm. It feels like things are escalating to a point where we weren't sure if that would even happen, because we were like, maybe by the time the Cubs and Cardinals play, the Cards will be out of it.
I'm also pro doubleheader, by the way, in general. Like,
split or true?
True. Because to me, let's stop doing the thing where you make fans leave the ballpark and then you got to buy a whole new ticket unless you bought tickets for the game that got banged. Like, let people buy one ticket and stay and watch both games.
You know how money works, right?
I do, and I know that's why it's not going to happen, but that doesn't mean that should always be the main thing. Like, I think you help grow the game of baseball for further generations doing that. I think there are a lot of people that got into baseball where I could buy a ticket to game one and I get to watch game two. You still get the gate for the game. You still get the concessions for the game. But I understand baseball made $12 billion last year, and you don't do that just letting people watch both games with a doubleheader.
312-644-6767. Now, we're opening up the phone lines. Here's why. To talk about this, but in our next segment, what we're going to be talking about, there will be thoughts, there will be opinions, and I cannot wait to get Russell Dorsey's opinion on something dealing with a former Cub who happened to be back in town last week, if that doesn't give it away, and what he said about Pete Rose specifically. But right now, looking at this stretch, 4-3 would be optimal on this road trip for the Cubs. 3-4 would be disappointing, but not the end of the world. Do you agree with that take?
Yeah, I would say 4-3 of the two, but your bar got to be higher. Like, you should be trying to say, hey, let's go 5-2 on this trip.
Win 2 series.
Right.
Split's not good enough.
The way you've been playing, you want to try to win 2 series. Yes, 100%.
The offense should continue to offense. Mm-hmm. Some people say the Cubs rely too much on the home run, and that's in comparison to how they started the season, where it'd be a little home run and a little bit of, you know, smart base running, stolen bases. The stolen bases have kind of gone, not by the wayside, but we have not seen as much as we did early in the season.
Don't need to run when you're jogging. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's true.
But I'll also say going into the month of June, we were having a different conversation of they were scoring a lot of runs and they weren't doing it via the homer. So, yeah, I just think it's one of those points in the season. But because it's the weather has changed so much, like ask anybody who's ever watched baseball, played, associated with baseball, like Wrigley changes the dynamic of a game unlike any ballpark in baseball when the weather changes, right? Like when it's hot and the ball's flying out and the wind's blowing out off the lake, like that it is going to play small. And we saw that this weekend with 21 homers. So do I think they're probably going to hit more homers here over the next couple of weeks and months as, you know, we're in the midst of summer now? Yes, I do.
Yeah. A texter brings up a very good and valid point. If you look at the Brewers' ascension, this is 815, to being nipping on the Cubs' heels, only down 3.5 games, I think it coincides with the fact that Yelich is doing Yelich things and they've got guys up and down that lineup that are absolutely raking. And Yelich is kind of the straw that stirs the drink for that particular squad, especially if you look at what he was doing in the months of April, March, and May. He was batting under 250.
He's not good.
It was not good. But it's been a slow ascension, right? So in April and March combined, 220 batting average, 719 OPS. In May, 245 batting average, 754 OPS. Starting to creep, right? June, it's only been 17 games, by the way. 349 batting average, 938 OPS. That includes a 524 slug. So it feels like Yelich and the Brewers also know what season it is and that we are in the warmth of summer. And let's be honest, if it's going to continue to be a heat wave from the central time zone east, there's going to be a lot of home runs hit by a lot of teams.
100%. 100%. And so, yeah, you're going to have to deal with the fact that other teams also play with the warmer conditions. Other teams also know how to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And I think for the Cubs, I'm going to continue to say it. If they're the team that we all think they are, this stretch shouldn't define you, right? Like, this stretch shouldn't say, well, there goes the Chicago Cubs. RIP, we once knew
no,
you.
No.
Like, this has to be a stretch where you stop, pause, evaluate, and say, okay, like, we're not playing as well as we did. The division is playing better than they were early on, and now we have to deal with that.
All right. So now, as I warned you, next segment, stepping away from Cubs present to Cubs past. And all related topics. Because here's the question, Russ. It's pretty simple. Should steroid era players be reconsidered for entry into Cooperstown?
Yeah.
There was audio on Inside the Clubhouse with Cubs legend Sammy Sosa that made us say, that's interesting. We'll let you listen to it and we'll let you weigh in. Again, you can call us 312-644-6767. Call us, Texas. It's more. Raheem and Harris with Russell Dorsey and for Layla on 670 this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his return to Wrigley Field for the first time in 21 years, please welcome back Cubs legend Sammy Sosa.
Let the boys be boys. Sammy Sosa being recognized in the second inning of Friday's series opener. And they were already hitting home runs by the time he got recognized. And guess what? They kept hitting home runs after he was recognized. Was it in his honor? You tell me. 21 bombs in 3 days. 11 by the Cubs, 10 by the Mariners, but the Mariners scored more runs overall and walked away with a 2-1 series win over the Cubs that now has them down to a 3.5 lead in the National League Central. No one's panicking. We're just pointing out the teams in the National League Central are getting a little closer to the Cubs. More Raheem and Harris with Russell Dorsey Filling in for Layla Rahimi. Yeah, Russell Dorsey. Russ is here. I could have messed his name up way worse than that. Ask him. I call him out his name all the time.
He does.
Yeah, but so Sammy Sosa back at Wrigley, where he's going to be honored later this season, and you wonder, is a statue coming? What's coming for Sammy? What does he deserve? Or maybe you think he should just be like right back in that Cooperstown mix. Maybe you don't. But it was interesting because Sammy joined inside the clubhouse with David Haw, Bruce Levine. And Sosa was asked if Commissioner Rob Manfred removing Pete Rose from the permanently ineligible list could create a path for players of the steroid era to get consideration for the Hall of Fame. This was his response.
Well, you know, I believe that this is a great, let's say a great opportunity for baseball. People, the number that people have is incredible. As a player, you know, as a person, individual person, I don't have nothing to do with that. But I think Manfred took that decision. I think it's opened the door in the future. I guess it's still too early. But I believe that if you get into the Hall of Fame, the rest of us, you know, including myself, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Alex Rodriguez, I think we have a chance to make it. I'm not talking about tomorrow or the next day, but I believe it's a hope.
He's not talking about tomorrow. He's not talking about the next day, but he said players like him, name dropping too, mm-hmm. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, they could all see
A-Rod.
Sure, the path could be open. Rafael? Palmeiro? Not that the gate's not opening that wide?
No,
not after the congressional hearings?
I just don't think the situations are the same. And that's where I think Sammy is incorrect, because he, nor Barry Bonds, nor A-Rod, nor Roger Clemens, nor Rafael Palmeiro had a lifetime ban, right? They were all on the Hall of Fame ballot, voted on by the Baseball Writers Association of America. Pete Rose was permanently banned from baseball, a lifetime ban. Now, regardless of how you feel about Pete Rose on the personal side, and I will take all that away and just look at the lifetime ban element of this thing, he died, right? That's the completion of the lifetime ban.
It really is. Yes, it is.
I also think, sorry, Sammy, but there were some other things at play here outside of the commissioner saying, you know what? I think it's about time, right? You had Pete Rose's family petitioning to get him off the ban and ineligible list. You also had some political pressure from the president to get Pete Rose off of the ban and ineligible list. And I don't think the president's coming into the aid of Sammy Sosa.
Real talk, that political pressure, the timing of it, and then what happened next, that was not a long period of time between those two things happening.
And so, like, I'm sorry, Sammy, but no, you're not going to get the same treatment in this situation. I also think for me, and I think if you ask a lot of people who vote for the Hall of Fame, I don't have a vote for another 4 years. You got to be a BBWA member for 10 years. I think most people are at this point where, like, take it out of the writers would like it to be taken out of their hands, because people get mad at writers. Oh, you're the reason that player X isn't in. At some point, it'll be up to the Veterans Committee. And let the players who are already in there, let them vote for the steroid users. Because I think what you're going to find out is a lot of players that played that are in the Hall of Fame don't want steroid users in there.
At least with A-Rod, he admitted to doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He had a press conference where he said, I made mistakes. I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
The three guys that you'll notice, the common thing between the three guys that we're talking about, Barry Bonds and the two guys are Sammy Sosa and Roger Clemens, at no point have they admitted any fault. They didn't say, I made a mistake and I'm sorry for what I did. That has not come out of their mouths.
Sammy, to get into, you know, to get welcome back to Wrigley, said, I made some mistakes, but never really identified what those mistakes were.
And then say, I'm sorry and I shouldn't have done it. That's what contrition and accountability looks like.
Like, I think there are some people that are like, well, Sammy saved baseball. I agree, but just because you save baseball don't mean you get into the Hall of Fame, especially when you do it artificially. And I think that's the situation. That's what the catch-22 that we're going to keep coming back to is, just like, at the end of the day, those guys weren't banned for life.
And for the crowd out there, however numerous you may be, who would sit here and tell me, Sammy, and he's part of baseball. You can't write the story of baseball without Sammy Sosa. That's why he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Hey, I got news for you. Sammy's already in the Hall of Fame. So is Barry Bonds. So is Roger Clemens. If you go to Cooperstown and you walk up in the Hall of Fame, guess what? You'll see stuff from Sammy Sosa. Stuff like what, you ask? Well, there's 1998 season artifacts. The Hall of Fame has the bat used by Sammy Sosa to hit home runs number 59 through 62 on display in 1998, as well as the Chicago Cubs jersey he wore during that season's historic home run chase with Mark McGwire. Also, in the Hall of Fame, other Sosa artifacts, including the bat he used for his 500th career home run, his 400th career homer jersey, and the uniform he wore, when hitting his 600th home run with the Texas Rangers. Also in the Hall of Fame, the 756th home run ball by Barry Bonds. You don't go to the Hall of Fame and not see examples of why these players were a big part of baseball, but that doesn't mean you get to be inducted as a Hall of Famer.
There's a texter here, 773. I can't use all the words that you use, texter, but you do make an interesting point. Bud Selig is in the Hall of Fame. And I think you do get to a point where it's like, all right, if the guy who was the commissioner of baseball and was aware that these things were going on and was just like, oh, man, I can't believe that these dudes have size 9 and 10 baseball caps now. I don't know where that came from. Like, I do think there's a conversation to be had. At the end of the day, that's not something for me to decide. That happened. Like, the writer was not going to vote Bud Selig again. That was a decision that was made. But I just think at the end of the day, for those guys to get in, Clemens, Bonds, A-Rod, Sammy, McGwire, Palmeiro, all those people, that's going to have to come from the Veterans Committee a decade from now. Like, Pete Rose isn't even eligible to get in because that committee only votes every 2 years, and they just had a vote already. So it's going to be a little while before he is eligible to be voted in by the Golden Era Committee. But I think for me, there are people that make the argument that they're already steroid users in the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
Right? And I would be naive to say that there are not.
Right.
I don't want the pressure of having to play judge, jury, and executioner.
And you won't.
Right. Because by that time I get my vote, all these dudes will be off the ballot and it'll be up to the Veterans Committee. But I do think that you got to a point where people are judging writers who wanted the opportunity, got the privilege to vote for this, but then you have to pay the price because baseball guys didn't get punished. And so you feel, well, you're punishing guys when they didn't get punished when they actually played. And I don't think that's fair.
219. Now, you know, let's not forget about the cork bat. We all know he got caught with it, but how long was he using it? He's a liar. That's very interesting because guess what? The Hall also retains bats that were x-rayed in 2003 during the corked bat scandal involving Sosa. Even if deemed corked, the museum policy is to keep donated items. So there's literally different examples of like Sammy Sosa's impact on the game without him having to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. And for the guy who was texting about the commissioner being inducted in the Hall of Fame, I mean, it's not fair. But as we know, the way sports works, the owners get to control whatever they want to control.
As a former owner.
Yeah, right? He's a former owner.
His buddies are going to get him in. Also, Texter, I know you're saying you didn't come at me personally. I know you didn't. I was just making a point.
No, I like it. And I like the fact that we're having this dialogue. I also think Sammy Sosa and those other guys you named, if they do get into the Hall of Fame, it'll be after they're dead. And that'll have the
same. You think it'll be that long?
Yeah, I think so. Because I don't think any veterans committee is going to put them in anytime soon.
Also, do you think Sammy was the caliber player that the other three were?
Sammy versus Clemens, Bonds, A-Rod?
Yeah, because I don't.
No, I think I'm not sure because the steroids kind of.
Yeah, now you get that slippery slope of how long and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
I think Barry Bonds saw what everybody else was doing. Was like, hold up now.
As a Hall of Famer at that point, it said, well, shoot, care about homers, I can hit some homers.
But like his whole Pittsburgh Pirates career, That's Hall of Fame worthy. Yes. Before he got out to the Bay and got all balconed up.
I was a 400-400 guy before I ever touched a needle.
Exactly. So understanding that, I think, is why Barry Bonds is as upset as he is about how this all went down. Because really, the Maguire-Sosa thing, while they may have saved baseball, they also put certain players in the shadows. Some never started juicing. Frank Thomas. Others were just like, oh, I'm not going to be left out. And they did their thing.
We look at Junior as one of the best players to ever lace him up, and Junior never used. Imagine if Junior used.
But that's what I'm saying. Junior at 21, 22 years old, that swing? Come on, man.
If steroids could have kept Junior healthy his entire career?
Yes. He would be the home run king. He hit over 600 bombs. He would be the home run king.
He might have hit 800 bombs. He hit 600, and he was hurt for the back nine of his career.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
Now, I'm not saying guys should use. I'm just saying you think about it in context of like the guys that didn't use that could have. And you think about Junior being a guy that got hurt a lot. And for most people, it's steroids helped keep them healthy. And you wonder what would have happened.
All right. So
kids out there, don't use steroids.
Don't use steroids. Even though we had a caller on Friday who told us that steroids aren't bad for you.
Yo, they wilded out on you and Grody. That was crazy.
Trust me, steroids, they have lasting effects on different parts of your body that you probably don't want to be affected.
Well,
that has been proven. That has been proven.
Shrinkage?
That has been proven. I'll just leave it at that. Okay. When we come back, umpires, it's not about you. I promise you, it's not about you. As a former umpire myself, I can't imagine doing what was done at some amateur baseball over the weekend. Wait until you hear how one head coach went off on the umpiring after the game. That's when we come back with more Raheemi and Harris, Russell Dorsey in for Layla Raheemi on 670 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Layla Raheemi, Marshall Harris, Raheemi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh my goodness, he just threw Kevin Schnall out of the game.
Wow.
In the bottom of the first inning, the home plate umpire throws Kevin Schnall out of this game, and down goes an umpire who had come in to get in the middle of things.
That was on ESPN, Game 2 of the College World Series between Coastal Carolina and LSU, who ended up winning its 8th national title, second in the last 3 years, the LSU Tigers. Meanwhile, Coastal Carolina had to play the game without its head coach and without its first base coach, because as you just heard on the call from Carl Ravitch, Coastal Carolina head baseball coach Kevin Schnall and first base coach Matt Schilling tossed in the first inning of Sunday's College World Series championship game number 2. LSU, they won the game 5-3, finishing off that sweep 2-0 in the best of 3. Here's Coastal Carolina manager Kevin Schnall post game on being ejected.
If that warrants an ejection, I'm the first one to stand here like a man and apologize. Two words that define our program are own it. And what does that mean is you have to own everything that you do without blame, without defending yourself, without excuses. If you guys watched the video, there was a guy that came in extremely aggressively, tripped over Campos's foot, embarrassed in front of 25,000, immediately goes 2-game suspension and said, bumping the umpire, immediately does that. There was no bump. He was embarrassed. I shouldn't be held accountable for a grown man's athleticism. It is what it is. But if that warranted an ejection, man, there'd be a lot of ejections. as an umpire, I feel like it's your job to manage the game, the national championship game, with some poise, some calmness, and a little bit of tolerance.
Manage the game, manage your balance. I mean, things needed to be managed a little bit better in Omaha last night. Russell, Angel Hernandez Campos is what I'm calling him.
Oh, no. I don't like that.
because he's a former 7-year Major League Baseball umpire. Mm-hmm. He handled the home plate duties. He issued the injection of Schnall because he said Schnall exited the dugout to argue balls and strikes. Campos umpired 585 games as a Major League Baseball umpire, according to Baseball Almanac. He issued 23 ejections in his 7 seasons of work. Before his final game on September 3rd, 2014, Campos was at the helm for a few notable ejections during his career at MLB. He once ejected former Kansas City Royals catcher Matt Traynor in 2011 after Traynor was exchanging an argument with Campos despite not facing the umpire. Campos also ejected former Los Angeles Dodgers star Matt Kemp in 2012 when Kemp was arguing balls and strikes while in the dugout. This can't happen, right? First inning, just you don't like what was being said, so you just throw the guy. There's got to be some level of back and forth conversation before you just toss someone. And I don't know if you saw the video, but his man came in and absolutely tripped.
Ate it.
Yeah.
I would love to say that this can't happen, but watch a big league game any night. You're seeing stuff like this. And unfortunately, in the biggest game in college baseball this year, to eject a manager in the first inning is unacceptable. And after I saw Nico Hoerner get rung up a couple of weeks ago when he said, hey, you having a really bad day? That if that gets you tossed,
right?
Like anything, just looking at you can get you tossed. And I think in this situation, this isn't the big leagues. This is college baseball. Your team needs your manager or what they call your head coach in that situation more than a big league team needs their manager, right? Like, you have all these kids out there. You are a game away from going home, and your head coach gets wrong. Your first base coach gets wrong. And so you're out there really on the fly trying to do a lot of things yourself. Yes, and I know they had the acting manager, but, like, everything's thrown off when you have your season on the line. It's unacceptable, and I think there's – when you're an umpire, I understand they have a really tough and difficult job. I also understand that people say some really vile things to umpires when in the heat of competition and when they're upset and emotions get involved. But at some point, you have to have a thick enough skin to say, because of what I do, I'm going to hear some things that aren't an attack at me personally, but maybe it's just somebody being upset. But you also should have the awareness to say, look, man, this is the biggest game of the year. I can't ring up this head coach in the first inning. Like, nothing's even happened yet.
Well, apparently 3 balls were called balls that he thought should have been strikes. And listen, it's just really hard to get to the College World Series final.
Yeah.
It's very – the Chanticleers had to win – 26 straight games just to face LSU in the College World Series. Then they finally get that 26-game winning streak snapped, and then elimination game.
Yeah.
Who knows? We might have had a game today because they lost 5-3, and it was a close game.
Yeah.
But we don't get that because Angel Hernandez Campos, of course, I'm making reference to Angel Hernandez, who we already know what that is. But Angel Campos, he made it about himself. You can't convince me otherwise. You shouldn't know who the home plate umpire is for that game, except for at the very beginning of the game when they say, hey, we want to acknowledge our umpires who are
shaking hands.
Yeah.
Lineup card exchange.
The outrage on social media was more than I even thought it would be. And I agree with everybody who said that this ain't it.
I also don't think this changes. Like, I don't think that this changes in college. I don't think this changes in the big leagues. Like, I think this is just something that you're just going to have managers and players getting wrong for things, whether deserving or sometimes undeserving.
But the ball strikes part of it, we might be getting closer to that not being
a
as
part
big
of it.
Yeah,
because
as big a part of it.
ABS coming in.
That to start,
for sure.
To start, I think the ABS is the gateway to.
See, you can't go full 100% robo.
It's going to be two challenges a game, right?
I haven't seen the official of what it's going to
be. That's what
yet.
It was in spring training.
I don't think they've decided on an official.
I'm saying official going for the regular season. But I don't think, my whole thing is it should be like tennis. Because you see how quickly they do it in tennis, right?
Yeah.
It's like you hit the head and then bam, it's less than 5 seconds later. It's not slowing down.
I got to see it for real. For like the spring showed us that it is possible, and most people are like a full 100% on board with it. I just think when you start doing the slippery slope of all right, let's start reviewing everything and anything, that's when you get in a bad situation.
All right, we'll see. I mean, I think most times it's pretty obvious.
I saw this weekend multiple times where a challenge was clearly the other call, and they just kept it as call. So, like...
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a...
That happens.
That's a bad omen.
Can't do it with everything.
Marshall, you said you were once an ump?
Yeah, I umpired 4-year-old T-ball.
You would be.
I used to be an ump as well.
4-year-old T-ball, though, we didn't even keep score. It was the best job I ever had in my entire life.
You like to argue, though, so I can see you being a good umpire.
Well, what would I argue about 4-year-old T-ball? A highlight of 4-year-old T-ball is? When the kid does not roll the ball to the base, fielding it. When he actually throws
makes
it.
Makes an attempt to throw?
Yeah. I'd rather you throw and be off the mark than roll the ball to the base.
Did you feel bad for ringing kids up that didn't have the athleticism to swing the bat?
You didn't ring kids up in T-ball. You got three swings at the tee, and you knew if you...
Can you imagine, though, if there was an umpire that was just ringing kids up with, like, all That's the hilarious. Zest in the world?
But Russell asked the question. He didn't understand the concept.
I forgot the T-ball portion of it.
Like, I don't need to ring you up.
Taking pitches on the outer third.
What do you mean? Strike. You get three hacks, Russell, and if you don't put the ball in play.
I do. The image of you throwing kids out of games in T-ball is hilarious.
I mean, I will tell you this. You could have been one of my T-ball kids because I was actually, I'm actually so old, so much older than you, that this was before you would have been.
You did it as a teenager?
I did that as a 12-year-old. It was the greatest job ever.
Yeah, same with me.
So when I was 10 and 11, I did the scoreboard.
Okay.
At the YMCA. Or no, sorry, that's a lie. When I was 11 and 12, I did the scoreboard. When I was 13, I did 4-year-old T-ball umpiring. They started a new league for 4-year-olds umpiring, and they were like, hey, do you think you would want to do this? Like, what do I have to do? It's like, oh, you're just umpiring. You're basically just managing it. There were only four teams. So the teams just rotate every week, play each other. And the whole thing was, there's a five-run rule. So either they get three outs or five runs. And then we did not keep score. It was like on a backfield where you didn't keep score. It was great.
The closest thing I got in college, I reffed bitty ball soccer, and I reffed basketball, 8-9, 9-10, and 11-12. The 11-12, I got close to running some coaches.
All right, that's going to do it for us, but not really, because we're just going to come back with transition. Lawrence Holmes, Matt Spiegel, they are in the building. Transition with Spiegel and Holmes up next on 670 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.